All right, everybody, welcome to Anime Brothers. It's yet another episode. So today we are missing Chris, who is our normal intro man. To below, I have Jamil, Quiet Jams.
What's up?
To my right, I have Dashney, the Disciple.
Hey, yo.
And I'm Ty, Superfly. All right.
this is a nickname I had never heard you go by. he's Tai Chi Digimon.
Yep.
Digimon Tamer. Whatever. All right. Y'all ready to confess some things?
This is what happens when Chris is gone.
I know, right? We sound lost. All right. I'm gonna call on confessors. I'm gonna call on Dashney, who's to my left.
All right, we do a confession. All right, so yeah. Well, for quick confessions, we've decided that we are going to keep our confessions kind of on theme with the episode. In today's episode, we are discussing five anime dads we don't want to be like, and five anime dads that we do want to be like. And this is all in the spirit because three out of the four members of this group are dads, soon to be dads. You know, I'm the odd man out, but we decided to have this conversation about what anime dads we love and someone we don't want to be like. So my quick confession about my dad is, about my dad is, I seriously don't think he remembers who I am at times. Not that he has like Alzheimer's or anything. He's just like, you know, he sees me and he's got a register and he just takes guesses on who he might get for siblings. But this has been a thing since like even when I was a kid, but I think it's getting worse now that he's old. But he doesn't have Alzheimer's. He just takes his stabs in the dark. He hears motions and he just calls out names. He's got 30% chance of getting it right.
30% chance. All right.
He kind of there.
My dad confession for my own dad. I don't know where I was going with that.
Biological.
Sorry. For the longest time, I used to think my dad had Wolverine-like powers because when I was little and we watched X-Men, he'd always tell me that he trained with Wolverine, right? I get the comparison because Jamil's wearing X-Men shirt. But he would tell me he trained with Wolverine. So I'm like, oh, snap, that's so cool. He's like, yeah, I can regenerate anytime I wanted to. So I always believed he had healing powers.
And that didn't backfire on him? Like, he didn't come at him with
once I was old enough to register what was real and wasn't, then I was like, Pops, you're not Wolverine. Plus, he had, like, knee problems because he had knee surgery when he was playing basketball back in the day. So I'm like, how come you still have a scar on your knee that I can still see?
He's like, nah, I didn't say I was a Wolverine. I trained with Wolverines, you know, the cats up in Michigan. And he's like, yeah. I trained the boys up in Michigan. That's what I meant.
That makes a lot more sense. My dad related confession. Man, I had to dig deep for this one. So my wife's name is Melissa, and I don't know, man, the first couple times she came around, he called her Marissa, and he said it was by accident. I feel like it wasn't by accident. I'm like, I don't know Marissa. And so it was like Marissa, and then became kind of a running joke. So now, you know, if I say Marissa, I'll get an evil look from across the room. Yeah.
Are you sure he wasn't just trying to say her name wrong to scare her away?
Oh man, I don't know.
That's also a theory, man.
Well, I mean, I also have a theory about you not having any kids. You know, saying Dash, you might have three or four running around there. We don't know.
We're not putting energy into that. We're not putting energy into that at all. Like, no, nope, no kids whatsoever.
Yeah.
Nobody run with that theory. Y'all stay out the comment sections with that. Nope.
Okay. It'd be Dashney, you did have my baby. No.
I know, right?
So many people coming up. Yo, I will head to Maury right quick. You taking that test. Nah, man.
Mm-mm. I feel like you don't even got to go to Maury no more. You got 23andMe. You got other things. You could test at
home. Ancestry.
Yeah, but you know, we're black, ancestry. So we got to go to Maury.
You got to support. Yeah. You got to support him.
Yeah. You got to support. Yes, right. He'll pay for your flight down.
All those early mornings when we'd stay home from school, watching World of Sick Days, got to at least show him some love.
I can't believe he's still in business, man.
Thriving. All right.
I'm gonna get an invite to go on Maury. Sorry.
Probably will.
I don't think you'd want the invite to be on Maury. It's like, yo, someone wants to bring you on Maury. I'm raising questions. Yeah, asking all three of us? Many questions. That's suspect.
That's even more. That'd
be very suspect.
Yeah, I don't like where that's going.
All right, let's get into the topic.
All right, anime fathers we don't want to be like. Let's start it off.
We'll start with that.
You want to start with number five?
Number five.
Let's do it. All
right. Goku, aka Kakarot from Dragon Ball Z.
Ooh. So,
right.
There's a dude that I could take or leave. Goku. He's not a bad dad per se. He's just really, really, really absent.
He's a bad father.
He kind of went out for a pack of smokes and never came back. He's that dad. You know, the pack of smokes was a tournament, and like, you know, never came back means he died, but like came back and he saw his family again. And then it was kind of like, nah, I don't really need to be with y'all. Y'all seem to be good without me. You know,
That's the worst part. Like, he's around. He just refuses to actually raise the kids unless it involves fighting.
Yep.
Like nothing else. No type of academic work, no nothing. He's just strictly fighting.
Leaves out all the Chi-Chi.
And don't get us wrong. We're not saying Goku is a bad person. Obviously, he's not. He's the main hero. And he's the protagonist of Dragon Ball Z. But when it comes to being an actual father, that guy's just terrible.
You know?
It's terrible. He didn't even know where kids came from.
Oh, yeah. I was reading something that said that Goku actually might be like, he can kind of be considered like more of a villain, because at some point he knows that people are coming to Earth to fight him. And that's why he stayed at Earth to fight stronger people. And I was like, I guess that is kind of...
He says that. He's not shy about it. He likes seeking out strong competition. Let's talk, first of all, about during the Cell games, right? My man goes to fight Cell and it's like, you know what? I can't beat you at this power. So I'm going to have my son Gohan. He volunteers Gohan to go and fight Cell. And then before that match even started, he's like, yo, Cell, flip him a Senzu beam so Cell can be at full health. Yeah. So Cell can be at full health to fight Gohan to make it a fair fight. All that same pride. Like, don't get us wrong.
Right.
Don't get it wrong. Gohan wins, but it's like, yo, Goku, what? Like, this is mad dumb. That was such a stupid part.
The planet's at stake, but it needs to be fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? But I mean, to his defense, before Cell blew up, killing everyone, including his son, he teleported him into outer space to take the hit for everyone. And then he also came back to help with the super Kamehameha wave to defeat Cell.
The father-son Kamehameha wave.
Yeah.
Talk to him through King Gan. Like I said, and this is why he's number five on the list. Because he still acts like he's a good person. He's a good hero. But when it comes to like just being a father, like, he's ass. He's bad.
He's a booty dad. Yeah.
So like,
all right.
He's a bad father, but when it comes to like the bad fathers, he's at the bottom of bad fathers.
True. Unlike the next one, number four, we got Jing Freaks, aka Gene from Hunter x Hunter. Yeah. He isn't just absent, he actively avoids his child. Like, he will say, go to this mountaintop, surprise, I'm not there anymore, but come find me. It's like, dude, he leaves a tape for his son to find, and he has his voice for the first time ever. His son is able to hear it. And then he says, if you want to go hear about your mother, please continue this tape. If not, you can press stop. The tape will like self-destruct, essentially, right? And so he's like, all right, well, like any other parent would have just been like, nah, don't let that, let him hear his mom's voice or whatever. No, the kid decides to press stop. And what happens? The tape self-destructs. Like, come on, man, don't be a douche to your kid. Oh, and I don't know. He's not, for the longest time in Hunter x Hunter, you actually think he's dead. I don't know. I thought he was gone. No, no, he's not. You guys seen it?
Have yes. You guys
seen Hunter x Hunter?
The sun is gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you think about him?
I'm going to get roasted in the comments for that one.
Yeah, that was. I got the joke, but I. Yeah, you will get roasted. But, yeah, he just. He actively, obviously, is absent and he's trying to make. He almost like doesn't want Gon to find him, but he sends Gon to all his previous like students or people he's trained, and like I feel like those people should just be like, "Yo, this is where your father's at," but they don't even tell him because they've been told that they can't actively find him. So Gon's like at 100% loss when finding his dad.
Yeah, he sends him to an area. He's essentially like, yo, handle my light work. I'm not there no more, but you got that. You got some of my genes. And then like, he's over in like a city. At some point, they're in the same city at the same time. Actually, I think they're in the same arena at the same time. Gon is in the front row. Gene walks in the back door and he doesn't go down to say hi. He sees his kid and he goes, nah, I gotta get out of here. I don't get why. I need the series to end so I can find out why.
Like, I don't watch Hunter x Hunter, but I know the running theme of Gene just avoiding Gon. And like, and then I know that, I guess what, after one of like Gon's major battles and he was hospitalized, Gene didn't even go visit him. And then everybody's just like, yo, you gotta go visit. He's like, go visit your son. Like, he's in front of a crowd or whatever. And they're like, yo, you got to go visit your son. He's just like, nah, y'all can go visit him. He's not going to die. I don't need to visit him. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it's wow. He's like, everybody got so selfish.
He's like, nah, he'll pull through. Yeah. Don't you worry about that. How do you know? I don't know, man. It's like, I'm waiting for the plot twist to be like, yeah, so if we actually spoke, we would have not had powers anymore or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Something, anything?
Yeah.
Anything that makes sense?
Nothing.
Side note to Gon, though. That transformation, you've never seen Hunter x Hunter at all? Like, you haven't seen any of it? Oh, man. He's got one of the best transformations.
When he transforms to his, yeah.
That was sick. That's like an emotional transformation, man. It gets me like, ooh.
Right there. Dude, his power level was insane as well. Like,
yo.
I truly hope he's that powerful when he actually gets that older. Like,
right?
That
Yo, was sick. Talk about one-sided fights, though. that was a fight that I was like, wow, this is going to be a good fight when he finally gets the fighter. And then it was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
I was like, dang. It was like her power level was that of a child.
Yeah. And he went from child to ancient sage in a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, moving on to our number three of bad dads. We have, let me pronounce this right, Raza of the Sand.
The fourth Kazekage from Naruto.
He's a dusty dude. Yeah.
Dude, he purposely puts a... I forgot how to pronounce them.
Jinchuriki. No,
Jinchuriki.
Biju.
Yes. He purposely put a Biju. Yeah, a tailed beast. I could have easily just went with that. He purposely put a tailed beast into his son for his own personal gain. Like, which is also crazy because he actually had an older son, but he chose Gaara, his youngest son.
Yeah, Gaara was, it seemed like he was kind of already a little, you know, like suffering a little bit. I don't know. It just seemed like he wasn't already all there. Putting a little something in it that's going to give him like, you know, nightmares and freak him out, make him not be able to sleep. Just wasn't the nicest thing to do. That'll get you kind of high up on the bad dad list, I think.
Yeah. He's a terrible father. It was all just to increase the Sand's military power So when they go to war with the other nations, they have a freaking tail beast to control. And the worst part is, like, and you see in the memories of Gaara's childhood how he wanted to be friends with other player members of the Sand Kids. And it's just like, he wasn't explained. It wasn't explained to him what he is, how his powers work. He just knew he can control Slam, but he can't control it as a little kid. And so when he would lose rage, like the beast would come out and people would get hurt. And the Kazekage would just let them get hurt. He didn't even try. He didn't even try to save the people. He just sat there and was like, oh, no, guess we got to kill Gaara.
Yeah, he would send assassins after him. And it's like, wasn't he trying to train Gaara at some point? Like, he sent assassins just to, like, train the sand?
He claims that was his, that's what he said. He claims that was his former training.
Yeah.
Not actual training, just we're going to send assassins after you, see how you utilize his power.
It was messed up, though. His nanny, basically. His best friend nanny kind of dude.
Like, who was also his uncle. That was his mother's brother, who actually loved the Gaara. One of the only two people that did. One of the very few people that did, because Konkoro and Tamari, they still love Gaara, even though they feared him at first. But again, that's another reason. That wasn't due to because of the Kazekage. He was an awful person. And so he sends Gaara's uncle Yashimaru to kill him, like have him disguised up as a masked ninja to go and kill Gaara. And of course, Gaara's tail beast, his power defends him and ends up killing Yashimaru. And when Gaara realizes it's Yashimaru, he goes crazy. And Yashimaru, with his last dying breath, at the request of the Kazekage, tells Gaara, your mother never loved you.
Savage.
Right. What kind of father does that?
Drop the mic. All of a sudden, love.
Yeah, terrible. Like,
whoa.
That dude is trash. And then even when he got resurrected back during the fourth Great Ninja War, he was still a bit of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
A bit. He's like, what? He's like, friends? He's like, Gaara, you don't know. He's like, how you get friends? Like, he was so shocked. Like, Gaara was the true. He's like, what? He's like, you're the Kazekage? You got friends? You're the commander of this group? Like, damn, you got no faith in this kid at all.
Such a bad father.
Surprise. So, I mean, all right. I'm not going to say, this is kind of going to segue to the other side, but like, technically Minato did the same thing, except he didn't live long enough to be a dude about it.
it was a complete difference than what he did to what Namada did. So, what Raza did was strictly for the sake of military power and increasing the sand. Minato was super saving the village.
Yeah.
He saved the village, but he also sealed it in his son so that he could protect the village from the Ninetales because he had the Ninetales.
But not only that, he said because Naruto was his kid and also with his and Kushina's kid, he's like, yo, this kid will be able to control the power one day.
Yeah.
And he'll be able to use it. It had nothing to do with just boosting the military might of the leaf, where with Raza's goal was strictly power and strictly tried to control Gaara and keep him as a military weapon. That was it. There was no love. There was no love.
Well, did it not have that exact effect though? Like, Naruto was literally treated as an outcast. He was a military weapon.
But he was treated as outcast because of the village and the third. That was the third's fault. That Naruto was treated like that, not the force necessarily.
I mean,
the Kazekage.
Wasn't the third's fault? Because even the third was like, we gotta be good to him. He's nice and X, Y, Z.
You heard the third say that to one person, and that was Aruka. That was it. He only told Aruka to be kind with Naruto. All the other villagers was just like, we cool. Treat him like trash.
Yeah. So it's one of my things. Like,
I know you saw them flashbacks.
The dark crowd.
I know you saw them flashbacks. This is where they just hated this dude.
Yeah. All right. I've been swayed. it was not hard.
All right, then. On to our number two. Endeavor from Hero Academia.
Yo, do we just take the leash off of Dash and just let him go?
I mean, If you watched our previous episode when we were talking about top anime villains, you know how we feel about Endeavor. Okay.
I don't have a trash bag with me, but I can hold it up.
Yeah, exactly. Endeavor is trash. Like, his sole purpose for even having kids was because he wanted to create some, because knowing he can never be better than All Might, he wanted to have offspring that would one day become a number one hero. And for that, he married someone for the sole purpose of creating kids with a powerful quirk so they can be number one heroes. And he ends up focusing on Shuto, who, you know, is one of the main characters in My Hero Academia, one of the main students who has the power of birth, fire. Yes, his son, who has the power of fire and ice. And so he physically just abuses this kid left and right through training and attempts to toughen him up when it comes to the villain. And he's such a bad father that his bad parenting even went and affected his mother, well, Todoroki's mother, his wife, to the point where she burns Shuto because Shuto reminds her too much of Endeavor because of he has flame powers. And so she ends up burning him. And then when she burns him, what does Endeavor do? Beats her. And sends her to a mental institution. This guy's trash.
I mean,
he also forgot his other two children who also hate him for all the abuse.
Well, Natsu definitely, that's his name, right? Natsu or Natsu?
It is Natsu. Yeah. It is Natsu.
Okay, Natsu definitely hates him. But what's the sister? What is Natsu's the brother, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, Natsu's the brother. Then he has I can't remember if she's older. I think she's the oldest.
Yeah, I think she's the oldest.
Yeah.
What's her name?
I don't know.
She doesn't like her. She doesn't like Endeavor either, but she's more willing to try and actually work towards restoring the family. Mm-hmm. Like she.
But she also tries to do the dinner. She does the dinner with them all, but doesn't work out.
Fuyumi, that's her name. Fuyumi.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm just saying, you know, if the wife decides to throw some boiling water on one of the kids, how are you not gonna be mad about that?
But it's because of him.
I understand why, but like, you know, if you decide to throw some boiling water on one of the kids, you might get hit. I'm just to let you know. I'm not justifying.
Ladies and gentlemen, we here at Anime Burgers like to say the viewers of Jamil are held by Jamil and Jamil alone. It's not a reflection of the thoughts of the Anime Brother community.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't justify this, but I'm like, emotionally, if my child ends up like getting burnt by somebody on purpose, she doesn't do it by accident. She does it on purpose. She dumps hot water, boiling water on him. She looks at him and she goes, ah, I'm sorry. That's no, that's not cool. We're not doing that. You got to go. Mm-hmm. You got to get out the house.
But let's know, she's also, at that time, she also had a mental breakdown.
Yeah, it's his fault.
So there's something with, like, yes, she definitely, like, that's a bad look on her, but she's also in the middle of a mental breakdown because of Endeavor.
Yeah, it's 100% his fault, but, sorry.
I was going to say, she'll get a shout out when we do Bad Moms.
See, she's not a bad mom on purpose. She's a bad mom because she was forced to be a bad mom. You know, unlike someone like, I don't know, Sakura, who let her kid run around the world, or Ash Ketchum's mom. How about that?
10 years old.
Get out of here.
I'm only going to check up on you just to make sure you're changing your underwear. That's cool. Yep.
Call more Ash. Okay, mom. I'll see you in 10 years. I'll still be 10.
Yeah, did they ever talk about where Ash's dad is? Or what happened to him?
Never mentioned.
You know, I've realized a lot in anime, they don't mention dad a lot. I think in the culture, it's like dad's always working. They don't ever see him. Like,
provider.
So background story on making the good dads list, guys, viewers. It was actually very hard to make a good dads list. It's so many more bad dads than there are good dads in anime. It just happens that way. I can't find a lot more. It's I don't understand why. But, well, I understand why, because the dads don't build character. I guess bad dads help more.
And on that note, we can go to our number one bad dad.
It's not really character. A surprise. He's going for your character. As been mentioned on here many times before. And let's be honest, we can't really make a bad anime's dad list and not have Shu Tucker.
This dude.
As number one. We no way.
I mean, we already know what he's done. Like,
yep.
He killed his wife. He fused his daughter and the dog. Like,
if,
I can't.
If Endeavor's a trash bag, then he's a dumpster.
Full junkyard, man. Full dumpster yard, man. That's, oh my gosh. And the thing is, he never understood what he did wrong. It was all, like, even after it was done, he said, at least I can still keep my license. I made it in time. I made it in time. I can still keep my, like, I really thought Edward was going to kill somebody. And I was like, because Edward just goes off and starts pounding him. And it's such a heartbreaking episode when you hear her in the Chimera, she's like, Edward, no, hurt daddy. No, I was just like, ah, yeah.
It's like, it's gut wrenching. It really is, it, like, that. That's the definition of it, man. Yeah,
something too sad for me.
When you get to see, like, finally, when Scar finds her in the street.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. That's why I was just like, okay, yeah. Here we go.
She's in so much pain. I can feel this being that's not made to be, and his power is to deconstruct. And his puts his hand on her forehead, and she ends up as a blob or.
Nah, like, they show the Brotherhood, they, like, show her. I think it's different from the regular anime, but in Brotherhood, they just show her and Sho laying next to each other in a pool of blood after Scar comes through with them.
Scar kills them both. In Full Metal, they had her as a charred ash on the wall, like her dog body.
Yeah. They switched that up.
All right.
That's why I like Brotherhood.
Not okay, as gruesome. Okay. Still sad, but not.
I mean, it sounds kind of gruesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, when you know you have to kill that little girl and the dog, the Chimera is like, that's still one of the. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, to lighten the mood, we put dad's back. Oh, sorry.
You want to lighten it up now? You want to do it at the end?
Let's do it now
because we're still in session. Because we still got some honorable mentions. Here's some of the bad fathers that we know are bad fathers, but just didn't make the list for the top five.
Lighten it some of these dads aren't bad. You know,
don't mean let's just list them off.
That bad.
I was just saying, let's just list them off.
We can list them. Some we can talk about a little bit. But we got the list.
I mean, both of these at the same time, right? All right, you guys want to say them with me? Sasuke and Naruto.
Oh yeah. Sasuke and Naruto, definitely honorable mention. Sasuke and Naruto, definitely mentioned for the bad dads from Boruto, Naruto Next Generations. These guys are just bad. Sasuke. All right, granted, Sasuke's just not around. He's a bit like an absentee father, but that is because he's on a mission. But even when he's back, you still don't see him actually being fatherly to Sarada. I think he's had more conversations with Boruto than he does with his own daughter.
That's actually very true. Yeah,
pretty sure I see him talk with Boruto more than he does his own daughter.
Yeah, and then Naruto also absentee.
Yeah. But he just keeps using shadow clones.
Yeah, it does. That's
the worst part. That's maybe what made Naruto worse, because so when Naruto, for those of you who don't know, if you haven't watched Naruto, the thing is when Naruto uses a shadow clone, he can retain the memories when the shadow clones disappear, he can retain the memories from what his shadow clones was doing. So he can just, every time he's too busy to be with Boruto, he will send a shadow clone over to be with Boruto.
So what irks me is that sometimes he didn't even do that. Like, oh yeah, I'm just so busy at work. Like, yo, you didn't even want to send a clone home and act like you were at home? Like, no. Although one time Boruto gets like slick to it and he's like, yo, you're a clone. And he tries to come up on him. He goes, no, I'm not a clone. This is me. So that was
Boruto ends up figuring it out real easily more of the time. Yeah.
That's one of those things I really don't like about him. I liked Naruto because he wasn't a genius. Like, he had to figure things out. Boruto already has it figured out, and he already has the power to do it. That's,
I mean, yeah. Well, you know, that's the skills from his mother.
Yeah, but I kind of wish he actually had a challenge to fight. There's no challenges for him. Like, he just kind of already has the power, and he goes off and does the story, you know? Grow. I want to see growth, damn it. Dang
you
it.
You
got
too caught up in the original Naruto, so you can't accept Boruto. I see what's happening here.
Well, yeah, it's just like, you know, you transition from Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball is like fist fights. Dragon Ball Z is pew pew lasers. Like, it's Dragon different. Ball Z
was beast, though.
I miss Nimbus. Whatever happened to Nimbus?
Oh, Nimbus is fire.
Yeah. Power pole? Nah.
Okay, we saw what, I'm Rareem. We saw what happened to the power pole. That's what, how we got to Kami's lookout in the first place.
I mean, you can't get that while, back. You can just take it back. You just take it back. You can fly now. It's fine.
Yeah, but at that point, why you need the pole? Because once you learn energy beam, once you learn all these energy attacks, you don't need the pole.
True. I think you always need a pole. Just like, why not you grow those tails back, man? We need those tails. Ozuru?
For the monkeys?
Last thing a Saiyan needs is their tails. That's the last thing they need again.
Oh, yeah. I need a weakness.
speaking on Saiyans, Vegeta is also an honorable mention for a bad dad.
Vegeta's our segue dad. There's a lot that says that Vegeta's a bad dad. There's also a lot that says Vegeta's a good dad. He's apparently a better dad than Goku. I don't know why. He is a better dad than Goku is.
I will say this, like, even given his redemption arc, Vegeta does definitely treat his kids better, but he's still a bad dad in the fact that, especially when we talk about just Dragon Ball Z and that, just not even like including Super at the time, this guy treats Trunks with no type of respect whatsoever. He literally tells this dude, "Yo, I never held you once as a baby." When Future Trunks tries to come and he figures out that Future Trunks is his kid, yeah, he trains with him for a cell, but even before, when they're going to go fight the androids, my man just takes off and just leaves Trunks and Bulma there. And he's just like, this kid's catching up with me. Yeah, he must be my son. But he still doesn't try to actually like talk and deal with his son and like have calm with him. It's like, nah, it's just, oh, you're a warrior. We're going to fight and train. Like, damn, Vegeta. I will say this. The reason why he's on honorable because you know he actually does end up caring for his children. When Trunks dies, you see Vegeta get thrown into a fit of rage.
Yeah.
And he tries to go after Cell. So he does care for his kids. Which, you know, Goku might, but, you know, this guy, you know, throwing a sensu bean, that's wild.
Don't actively put your children in harm's way. Like, don't make the enemy stronger and then be like, all right, you got this, right?
Oh, well, that's also why Vegeta makes an honorable mention, because when Trunks was trying to kill Cell before he found his perfect form, Vegeta went and fought him.
Yeah.
Vegeta attacked Trunks so that Cell could find 18 and get his perfect form.
Yeah.
Which is the dumbest move.
Stupid.
That's why he makes honorable mention.
One of the, I don't know if it's last, but it's last on my sheet for honorable mentions for bad dads is Mr. Yagami from Death Note.
So Chiro Yagami from Death Note. Yeah, he's definitely got to be an honorable mention, because this dude, despite all the evidence that Light was Kira, my man was steadfast in denying it.
Yep.
Hardcore.
Can't be
don't get me wrong. Light is a genius or whatever, but not L stacked up all this evidence. This was just like, like, yo, come on. You're not even gonna give this like a second look? Like,
right.
Nope. Light's not Kira.
He seems to know so much about the investigation, but those are only the notebooks that you took home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the LeBron meme, like.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's like,
come on.
He's got to be. It's like, come on, man. You don't know a serial killer is living in your own home and you're a police officer? You're like, chief of police?
He didn't want to know. He was just like, nah, not my son. It's like, yo, boy, this is not, nope, not my son. You think it's weird about this girl? Nope, not my son. Nope. There's nothing. Nope.
Yeah. I don't know.
It is sad, like, through all of Light's deception, like, Soichiro dies really thinking that Light isn't Kira.
Yeah, buddy. It's ridiculous, but that's how manipulative he was. That speaks more to Light than it does to Mr. Light.
Mr. Light.
That's what makes him like a, he's not necessarily a bad dad. He was 100% on his son's team. He's like
ignorant.
He's an ignorant person.
I mean, I guess you want to give him points for loyalty. You're loyal to the wrong guy. Oh, that's a serial killer.
Yo, the Yagami family got loyalty running deep up there, you know. All right. And that's why he's a good segue dad to Goods, right? He's a good segue dad. He's a good segue dad.
Got it. All right, let's move on to dads we want to be like. At number five.
Number five. Got you.
Thank you. Minato Namikaze from Naruto.
Minato Namikaze, aka the fourth Hokage, the GOAT.
Aka the least good dad.
I just want to straight up say this. I was humbly, strongly against him as number five, but you know, as this goes. As you can see, I am strongly against Minato being at number five, but we're just gonna with it.
He wanted him number five because he didn't even raise his son. He didn't raise him. Like, he died.
I got you, but the reason why he didn't raise his son just has him out there. He's a GOAT.
Look, so like, yes, we put this in the last one because, like, let's be honest, he didn't really help, but he helped a little bit. He put some chakra in him to release some memories. And I mean, I guess it's more than Gaara's dad did, but like
Gaara's dad didn't do a damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, nope. Like, it took him being resurrected to actually help his son out and be like, "Wow, that's you? That's awesome! You're doing all this. Oh, let's deflect that bomb for you." Like, he was a good
hey, guy then. The GOAT. Yo, he came through and did work. All I'm saying is, when Naruto needed him the most, when the pain came, and we thought Hinata was dead. And Naruto went on that rampage. Fourth Hokage showed up, pulled Naruto back, brought Naruto back to his regular mode. And after that, after Naruto spoke with his dad, he said, "All right, Pain, let's go. Round two. I'm here for you. Let's go."
Can I deal with King Time? Yeah. What?
Wait,
yeah.
Which one when you talked to his mom?
That was when he was trying to control the Ninetales power to get the cloak mode.
Yeah. Okay. Full. That's when he was able to talk to mom. Oh, no.
No.
Oh no. Dad's when he merged them. That's right. Dad had the other half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. He made sure to give only half of the Ninetales chakra to Naruto. He took the other half from himself, so Naruto wouldn't be that overwhelmed by the Kyuubi chakra.
He took the most evil half too. He's like, "The thing you have is evil. The thing I have is darkness." I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I gotta give separate the yin and the yang.
Yeah, that was all right. All right, fine.
I'm just saying, if we were going to bump him up, I feel like if he had the ability in his chakra to give some memories, he could have gave him some memories, like, once he turned, like, 10 or something, be like, "Yo, this is what this, I'm your father. This is what your mother looks like." Like, kid grew up a long time.
And again, Naruto's terrible childhood, I blame on the third Hokage, and the rest of the Leaf Village. We're not even trying to help this dude.
Let's
talk about this, though. Let's unpack this. So, Minato, like I said, Minato Namikaze. Everybody else in the village of Naruto, where have the clans, they take on the clan name of their fathers. And yet Naruto, he gave this dude his mother's last name, guaranteeing this dude would never know who his father was. That's so that is some BS. Like, come on, man. Come on, third. Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's not like Minato was down his dying bed and said, "Yo, name this dude Naruto Uzumaki." Don't let him know he was my kid. Nah, that should have made that decision on his own. Bro, come on. This is like, nonsense.
If he had all this time, like, okay, he had some time to infuse some chocolate. He obviously didn't have time to write a note. But, like, you couldn't just, like, be like, yo, make sure he knows that he's the kid of royalty. Like, he's essentially like a royal child, but he's treated like trash. Like, they couldn't just, I don't understand that. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And like the very one thing that I really wish that they did in all of Naruto is teach somebody his skill, the flying thunder god, or like flying Rangan or whatever, that flash stuff that he had.
Rasengan?
No, oh, you mean the flying
thunder god
that he had.
Flying Rajin. Flying Rajin.
Yeah, the flashed up that Minato had.
Like, yeah, the flying Rajin.
Yeah. Right. Why doesn't anybody else know that?
The second was the one who created it. The fourth mastered it. But then the fourth also taught it to those three, hidden leaf guys, the three hidden leaf Jonins. Because remember during the fourth Great Ninja War, that's how they got Tsunade. That's how they teleported Tsunade over to the...
Oh, you're talking about the ANUB? Or AMBU?
Not even the Anbu. It was like... not the Anbu. It was like the dude with the... It was one of the leaf. The leaf with the dude with the toothpick. Who's always chewing on that toothpick. And then...
And then the other two dudes...
Yeah, no, he doesn't have it, but it's him and the other two leaf Jonin. They need to do it all together because the fourth taught it to them, but they can't do it on their own. All three of them need to like line their chakras together.
That's right.
In order to rotate
it. Okay, yeah, you're right.
All three of them needed to combine their chakras together, which I mean, that just shows that they're important for something, but they're not that important. But all three of them needed to line their chakra together in order to transport to Tsunade and the Raizekage to the battlefield.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
The end of war.
This is one of those things. It's like, it's supposed to be one of the strongest techniques ever. Why don't you have it?
Because it's one of the strongest techniques ever.
Not everybody can learn it, man.
Not everybody can learn it.
That was one of my things. I was like, yo, that's supposed to be like your signature jutsu. You should have left some chakra to teach him that. That would have bumped you up on my list. Sorry, Minato.
Nah, man. We just gonna keep spamming Shadow Clone Jutsu whenever we can.
You didn't even teach him that. He had to learn that by accident.
Hey. No, he learned it from the book, the scroll. From
the secret scroll that he stole. Yeah.
I like how Shadow Clone Jutsu is supposed to be a forbidden technique. What?
Everybody has it.
Everybody.
Right? So other people can do like the wood substitutions or whatever. Like the clone, but it's just like not like, especially like in the very beginning, the Shadow Clone Jutsu was supposed to be like this straight up hardcore forbidding technique, and I'm just like, why?
Yeah, I think it's literally just
making a clone.
Yeah, I think it's multi Shadow Clone Jutsu. That's the forbidden one. I think they're actually technically two different things.
The thing is, with Naruto has all that chakra that we can just create a massive amount
army.
I'm just like, dude, why is this so forbidden technique? You have enemies talking about, here's my earth clone, here's my fire clone, here's my water clone. What are you talking about? A shadow clone was supposed to be forbidden?
they deviated a little bit. They deviated some. I think when they first wrote the script and everything, they were like, all right, yeah, people are only supposed to really do like hand-to-hand combat and use knives and stuff like that. That's why when Sasuke was training, he was so good with shuriken. Like, after a while, it became like, nah, I'm just going to teleport behind you, hit you with some lightning bolts, and then you're done. Like, game's over.
Like, on paper, I can see it making sense. Like, oh, we're going to show Naruto learns this forbidding technique to show how he got the power like, so he can graduate. But then it's like, further on, you start writing more, it's like, yo, he's really using this technique fairly easily. It's like, how forbidden was this technique supposed to be? Why was it even forbidden?
Why was that like, scroll so big?
Like, I can see why the reanimation jutsu, why that's forbidden. Because you see what happens with it. That makes sense for that jutsu to be forbidden. But shadow clones?
Or like even Russian shuriken. like, I get why that's forbidden. It messes up your hands. Like, don't do that. It'll stop your chakra points from flowing. Okay, we get that. Shadow clone.
Yeah, yeah. To my man said, you know what? Nah, I'm going to perfect this. I'm going to be out. Make sure I can throw it. Make right? sure I can throw it.
It's like, oh, I can't use my hands? All right, I got you. For everybody listening, I made shoulder jukes.
Yes. Those are not watching.
Yeah.
All right. No, but Naruto definitely is. One thing about Naruto is definitely they're not short on a list of great dads, which brings us to number four. As for dads, we want to be like Shikaku Nara, aka Shikamaru's father. And he is one of, like, for me personally, like, he's one of, like, outside of Minato, he's probably my favorite dad in the entire series, because not only is he a genius like Shikamaru, like, he doesn't have as much of the laziness that Shikamaru has, not at all. And so, but he's great at instructing Shikamaru on how to be an actual leader in a kid, and he's always there for Shikamaru when he needs him. Like, when Shikamaru was the only one of his class to become a chunin, his father was there for him. When Asuma dies, his father was there for him, helps him, like, encourage him, teach, learn how to speaking, passing on the will of fire to Shikamaru, and always keeping him playing shogi with him to make sure Shikamaru kept up his intelligence, keeps him thinking, moves ahead, which is great for Shikamaru's ability. And you know, he's one of my favorite characters in Naruto. But then, like, even to, like, the fourth great ninja war, this guy is, like, the lead strategist because of his mind, because he has one of the brightest minds, not just in the Leaf Village, but in all of the ninja lands.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to give him my props, too, because, like, he takes that sacrifice. I mean, I know it was mainly for his son, but he also did it for the village and the joined forces of Shinobi. But, like, that sacrifice was real. It's a true father right there. I'd sacrifice myself.
Yeah, there was.
You gotta have the kid first. Hold up.
When it's here. When it's here.
Shout out to people wanting to give up their lives for children.
Shout out to people. Hey, you gotta give it all. That's the will of fire. You gotta make sure that the future generations live on to pass on the legacy.
That is a fact.
True.
Like, speaking of legacies.
Kids passing on future. We have our number three, Dad. Gohan.
And how for the legacy.
He is a legacy, you know. Goku.
Well, I mean,
is
like,
a,
if you're gonna, if you're gonna say, like, Gohan's like the greatest fighter, and he's like number two, but then he lost the ability to be number two, like the greatest fighter.
Gohan should have been the greatest fighter.
You mean Saiya Man?
Like, no, I don't. No, I don't. Not at all. Get that out of here.
Boy,
get that out of here. That was a complete butchering of what should have been the greatest character in Dragon Ball Z. But as a father, you know Gohan loves Pan very much, and he does everything that he can to protect her, make sure she's safe, make sure she's protected. But the thing about it is, like, he still allows, I mean, it's just a shame that she wants so much to be like her grandfather, that she wants to fight all the time, but he still makes sure, like, Pan has that protection. That, and make sure that, you know, there's nothing, like, to harm. Like, even, like, with Super, and while she's still as a baby at Super, getting Piccolo to help raise her, and, like, he just wants to make sure everything he does is by her. So he gave up his fighting, especially after Z, like, you see that he gave up his fighting to make sure he can be there for Pan, because, you know, he didn't really have someone who was there for him.
Yeah, he knew what it felt like. He knew exactly what it felt like not to have a dad around. And so he was like, yo, you know what? I get that whole life. but like I need to be there for my kid because like it, like I mean, Gohan also grew up in a different situation, like, you know, kid in the mountains, mama made him read a lot so he can go to school and be smart and stuff like that. It's like, you ain't gonna be like your father. And so
yeah, he ain't exactly
like his father. So shout out to Chi-Chi.
Yes.
she did it right. Great, mama's out here great. Working hard.
But studying in with the academics, I don't have a problem with that, but it was the lack of just completely giving up fighting that turned him into a trash fighter. So in terms of a dad, amazing. In terms of a fighter, you fell off.
I know. You go from the greatest.
Exactly. And you were the greatest.
At least he went on top. Like Jay-Z wanted to do in 99. What was that? The Black Album.
Hey, Jay-Z, you're still dropping hits, though.
I know. What was that whole retirement about? I don't want to segue, but like, we might need to talk about this because you can't retire and then just not retire. It's just not retirement at that point.
People do it all the time.
Yeah, it's just like the hype. It gets more, they get more people, more viewers, more listeners. It's all hype, man.
It would be like, guys, we're retiring the show. But next episode, we'll be right back. And
it's like, yeah, we're retired. Oh, we want another one. Oh, you want another one? All right, we got you. I got you.
Speaking of
retirement.
Dang, so still my segue. I was about to say that.
I heard it coming, and I knew it was coming because with retirement. I'm like, this is perfect. What just happened here? This is magical.
Take it away.
You got this. You get it. Get it, Ty.
All right. Speaking of retirement, we have at number two the retired Shima guy, Ishan. Oh, man. I can't pronounce his last name. So sorry, people.
Kurosaki.
So what he was saying.
So what you're saying is I should do the segue?
We have the retired Shinigami Ishin Kurosaki, number two. Father of Ichigo Kurosaki, protagonist of Bleach. Ishin is amazing. He is hilarious.
The character.
He is funny. Oh, the way.
I was going to say, he's a single father of three. He's got two little girls, one teenage boy with, you know, just your average teenage boy. Yep, right? Oh, man, no, he's just a great pops. He's also obviously, like, super friendly and candid with his girls, like, making sure they get everything they need, keeping them safe. The boy is a little rougher with Ichigo. He's a little rougher with, but, you know, boys need that.
My man's always fighting Ichigo whenever he comes into the house. As soon as he comes in, it's become like the running gag in Bleach. Every time Ichigo walks into his house, his dad's just ready to attack him. It turns into a fight. Like, literally, the first episode, Ichigo comes in, and he comes in with the Ichigo. He's like, you're late, and kicks him in the face.
Yo.
He's going to a battle.
He knew he was going to be recruited. He knew he needed those reflexes.
And it's so funny because, like, at first you think, like, Ishin is just, like, this goofy dad who's, like, super overprotective of his daughters. And then it's, like, you get the revelation that he's a freaking Shinigami. And then he's, like, oh, this dude's a beast. This dude is actually beast. And so when you get more into his story, you're, like, oh, he's done everything for the sake of Ichigo because he knew one day what Ichigo would become for the story. It's just, like, oh, man, this guy just... amazing.
Yep. That's the only arc I haven't read in Bleach.
Really?
That's the one. It's the one, like, right as soon as they found out, like, you know, they could tag team. So, that was the Aizen arc in the anime. Like, he found out, like, you kind of find out that they know about each other. And then, like, Aizen happens, and then the anime ends. And so, like, that's about
it. The anime ended. There was another arc after Aizen.
No, there wasn't. Was there?
Yeah, there was. Did you finish the Aizen arc?
Yeah, the Aizen arc is when he gets, like, the black hair, right?
Yeah, he turned into Mikasa, but there's another arc after. There's, like, another, like, canon arc after Aizen. So, like, after Aizen dies, there's a filler arc, and then there's the final canon arc.
Wait, hold on. There's a, like, a Is it the Fullbring or is that before?
Yeah, the Fullbring. Fullbring's the final, official final arc.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, yeah.
All right, he's got it.
Oh, man.
If you read the manga and then you have the 1,000-year Blood War arc, which is the official end.
Yeah, that's coming out, though.
Yeah, they are bringing it back. They are bringing the anime back. And I hope it's going to be lit. Ishin needs more airtime for that. That's when you find out, like, damn, that's when Ishin tells. So during that, that's when Ishin tells Ichigo, like, the full story of his mother.
His mom, yeah.
From his getting. I'm just like, oh, okay.
That was deep.
Get it.
That was lit. But yeah, Ishin, number two.
Yo, wait. I just found out something today. Something from, Beavis and Butthead is coming back, and they're going to be dads.
You got to be kidding me.
That they are bringing that show back. I thought of it earlier today because I was like, no way. Because I saw it go through my Facebook feed, and I was like, this is the perfect topic. I'm just going to talk about it. I'm sorry. Beavis and Butthead is older than all of us.
Who the hell would ever want to father children to those two?
Right? Yeah. They spent their entire time on that show trying to get laid. Apparently it worked.
You gotta be kidding me. Yeah. That's probably what it was. They probably were sperm donors.
And then it just found out who the person was.
That'd be perfect.
But no, like we said, this episode is about dads we don't want to be like, and dads we do want to be like. Not just, yes, we love anime, we love all this action stuff, but there's more to just being a great dad than being a great fighter, which brings us to our number one dad that we want to be like, and that is Maze Hughes from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Like, General Hughes is one of probably the most, like, popular and favorite, generally loved, beloved anime dads out there in the anime universe. He is compassionate and caring, and the way he dotes on his daughter is just completely lovable. He has so much care and compassion for his family. And, like, in his short time in Full Metal, that's the thing. He is beloved generally by a lot of the anime community for just his short amount of time on Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And that's the something that needs to be said for that.
Yeah, no,
Full Metal. He's hilarious.
They had him there. He was, like, stoked that his wife was pregnant. He goes, oh, the baby's coming. And then she has the baby, and he's, like, got his phone out. Or not phone. He's just pictures, like, sure, his pictures of my baby. Like, isn't she so cute? Oh, my God, she's the cutest, right? Oh, I love her. It's, like, that's the guy I aspire to be. He has no, like, actual powers. He's just a general in the army. He's a regular guy. And, like, you know what? He's really, really wild about his family. Of course, Full Metal did him dirty.
His untimely death just sparks off the entire, like, series.
he even kind of goes out like a hero, though. Like, if I had to, that's the way I'd go out.
Mm-hmm. And it's a testament to how great of a character he was, because when Colonel Mustang finds out who kills him, probably one of my favorite fight scenes in the entire show. Like, that was good. That was a great battle. But yeah, it's like Hughes, definitely one of the most beloved characters as a father.
Yeah. Shout out to the writers of Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Brotherhood, because, like, y'all making some impactful characters, or we're making some impactful characters.
Yes. You know, like, as you can see, the number one for the dads we don't want to be like and dads we do both came from Full Metal Alchemist.
Right? Yes, it's like, come on now. Maze had, like, what, maybe 10 episodes where you actually saw Maze in?
If that.
Yeah. Well, see, in Brotherhood, he gets a little bit of a stretch. Not Brotherhood. In Full Metal, like,
there. Oh, yeah.
He gets kind of a stretch, like, of episodes. So you do get to see him a little bit. And just like Sho Tucker's daughter, you get to see her a little bit. And it's like, as soon as they get cut out, it's like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? Like, they you get so attached to the characters. And so when something negative happens to them, something happens to them in general, it's just like, I can't believe they just did that. Well, it's like Game of Thrones. Like, you know, I was so invested in Robb Stark. All of a sudden they murked his family and is at the Red Wedding. Why am I watching this show?
That was rough.
Yeah.
That was bad.
It was passionate. Right. We took a pause after the Red Wedding. We stopped watching the show for a month or two. We gotta decompress. And then it was like last time on Game of Thrones. And I was like, no, fast forward that. We don't need to see that. All right, bring us up with some honorables.
All right. I'm gonna start it off with Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z. Now, let's Piccolo be honest, is not it.
We know the real father.
Yes, right? We know the real father, but Piccolo is what we call a father figure instead of an actual father. So Piccolo basically raised Gohan. So obviously we all know Goku was absentee. So Piccolo came through. He was like, I'm going to take this one for the squad. I'm going to raise Gohan. He actually trained Gohan how to fight. He, you know, did the whole... He actually cut his tail off, too, if I'm correct.
Yep.
He just helped him emotionally, just, you know, getting through stuff, helping him throughout different battles. Why can't I remember, though? It was a battle on top of Kami's Tower with, why can't I think of this dude's name?
Garlic Jr.?
Yes, Garlic Jr. Thank you. And, you know, Piccolo helps him through that. Gets him through it, helps him power through, helps him pull out the max power that he possibly can at that time. And I don't know. Piccolo's just always been there for Gohan. They have a telepathic link together. That's how tight they are.
For real.
Not
for
to
real.
Mention.
I'm like, no way.
Not to mention, Piccolo also like ends up, he sacrifices himself to save Gohan when Nappa and Vegeta come, like, stood in that way because, like, this is a guy who, like, hated Goku. For years, but he saw Gohan and he was able to find love because of Gohan. And you'll see it throughout the entire series of Dragon Ball Z. Like, he's very protective when it comes to Gohan. And he's also critical too. He's like, whenever there's a big battle coming, he's like, yo, Gohan, we gotta train. We gotta do this. And make sure you're ready for it. Piccolo's always that guy to be there for Gohan.
Yeah.
And I mean, like Jamil said, it was hard to find actual fathers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, father. He's a father. So figure.
Resorts to father figures. Which brings us to our next one.
Ooh, segue. Go ahead.
We have the Hidden Lee's very own Sanin, Jiraiya. Now, Jiraiya, for all you guys who watch Naruto, Jiraiya is Naruto's godfather. He was also the one who trained Naruto's father, Minato. And he's one of the Hidden Leaf Sanin. He helped Naruto. He was the one who taught Naruto how to use the Rasengan, one of Naruto's most powerful attacks, especially when he was a kid. He became immediately after the Orochimaru attacked the Sand Village, and he knew, like, he originally came to because he was tracking Orochimaru, but when he saw Naruto's struggles, he felt an obligation to help Naruto gain his full potential. And Naruto loved Jiraiya as a father. He each wanted to spend as much time as he could with Jiraiya, even though he called him the pervy sage. He loved Jiraiya training him. And that's just more when it comes to Shippuden, where Jiraiya's death scene, and when Jiraiya dies and Naruto's jumping through the woods, and you see the ghost of Jiraiya just grab Naruto on the shoulder, and I'm just like,
right in the feels. Right in the feels.
I shed a tear. The first time I saw that. It's just a testament to how powerful of a father figure Jiraiya was for Naruto.
And also, not just Naruto. He was also a father figure for three others. Nagato, Pain, I forgot the girl's name.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember her name. The paper ninja.
Yeah.
I just had it too.
But he also helped raise them because they were
Conan. There's it. Conan.
Conan.
Ah, yeah.
Well, no, yeah, he found them. He found them during, because Orochimaru was still there. It was him, Orochimaru, and Tsunade. They were the three Sannin, and they were battling Hanzo, the salamander of the. They were in the Hidden Rain Village. They were in the Hidden Rain Village, and so the Hidden Rain Village was a village that was like somehow was literally smack dab in the middle of all five nations. So like anytime war brew out, the Hidden Rain Village all got affected by it the worst. And Nagata was orphaned. His parents died through some like jabroni hidden leaf guys, but then you'll never see again because they ended up dying. But like Nagato meets up with Yahiko and Konan when they were kids, and they end up seeing Jiraiya end up fighting Jiraiya, Orochimaru, and Tsunade after their battle with Hanzo the Salamander, you know. And Orochimaru being Orochimaru tries to kill him off right from the jump. And Jiraiya's like, nah. He's like, nah, I'm going to teach these kids
how to defend themselves
because their land is getting completely ravaged. They're orphans. So like he felt, and you find out like with Jiraiya's history because of the prophecy Jiraiya had, the great frog elder gave Jiraiya as a kid. He's just like, yo, man, he's like, let me go ahead and find these students. Let me go ahead and train these kids. And like, I got to find the child of prophecy. So,
yeah, one of my disciples.
Yeah. So he went and trained them.
Yep. Nagato had the most promise because he saw the eyes.
He saw the Rinnegan.
Yeah. He's like, yo, man, he must be the disciple. He must be the one that's going to bring peace to the land. Like,
yeah,
let me do it.
So I don't obviously didn't work out too well.
No, he definitely messed up with that one. But I was going to say, he's not, I mean, like, he kind of followed them a little bit, but like, he's just like sensei, you know, I feel like to those three. He definitely father hardcore for Naruto, though. Like, he daddy.
Yes. And then my last honorable mention for fathers is real goofy one, but I love this guy. I got to go with Hercule over Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. Hercule is for dads. He definitely is gonna go on the honorable mention for dads. I want to be like, because if you just actually go back and watch Dragon Ball Z and listen to Hercule's lines, they're gold, pure comedic gold. Because he's just so outlandish with his power that he thinks he has. Like the confidence that Hercule has is just amazing. Like I want that confidence. To act like I'm the champ. No one full well, you're clearly guys who are stronger than me, to put up that facade. Act around everybody who's like, yo. And he just like go and like, you know, he obviously cares for Videl a lot.
So much.
And he has you can see Hercule has a good heart. Like when Majin Buu comes and Majin Buu goes on his rampage, Hercule's like, you know, obviously, like, the world is pressuring Hercule to go because he's the world champ, and Hercule's going, and then he sees Boo, and he realizes, like, yo, this guy's actually not a real bad guy. He just has, like, some horrible teachers. So it's like, he actually talks Boo to get him to stop from killing, which would have been fine if that damn sniper didn't show up.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, Hercule has a good heart when it comes to like being caring, and him as a father, he just cracks me up. Like, I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. I want to have the confidence of Hercule and be that guy to provide the comedic relief while also making sure I take care of like my kids. Like, he obviously had, you know, he cared about Videl, even though he refused to let her train with him because, you know, then he get exposed. That's what I love about this guy. It's like he goes to great lengths to keep his secrets. It's just like, yo, I'm the stronger.
Even though Videl was stronger than him.
Oh yeah, she.
He is hilarious though.
Yes.
And then he even after when taking in Boo, and you'll see it in Super, like he obviously like kind of like treats Boo like as one of his own kids as well. He wants to make sure like Boo doesn't get hurt either.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that one. I got two that are kind of almost the same. Tino's one. From Blue Exorcist, we got Shiro Fujimoto, who's a priest. who raises two of essentially the devil's kids. He's just a really good father figure. He protects them, ride or die. Does he actually die in that? I don't remember.
He does die.
He does die?
Okay, yeah. Satan kills him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He kind of possesses him for a minute, and that was overpowering for his body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, he tried his best to put them on the right track, kind of orphaned them, like, brought them up as orphans. Another almost exactly same storyline, Black Clover. There's a priest called Orsi Orphi. He does the same thing. The two main characters in that are Asta and Yuno. And he basically brings them up as, like, orphans in the church or whatever. And, like, Asta has no magic. Yuno has all the magic. And it's like, so you guys both want to be Wizard King? It's like, but the Wizard King has to have magic, so it's not going to be you. It's going to be you.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. Cool. But Asta has the power of anti-magic, so it's like, you might be able to do it. Yeah.
Right.
Black Clover is interesting.
Oh, I see. Oh, so since you can't use magic, we'll give you anti-magic.
Yeah, yeah. Literally everybody else in the world has magic. And so his power ends up being, he's super strong because he's just like, well, maybe if I do some push-ups, like, I'll get some magic power. He never does, but he gets some, like, swords, and the swords cut through things with magic abilities. So he gets awesome, like, dual-wielding stuff, where he gets this massive sword, just slaps people around with it. It's cool. It's cool. I like it. But, yeah, those are two, like, just awesome father figures who aren't really fathers but treat these kids like their own. And Black Clover dad doesn't die because, you know, he's just a priest in a village, so they didn't actually go after him or anything like that. But Fujimoto ended up losing his life for that.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
It is a shame.
Sad day.
Yeah. Yeah. I had another one though. When we were talking, I was actually gonna mention this, but you brought him up earlier. Asima Sensei. I don't know his last name. I think it's the same as the third Hokage from Naruto.
Oh, Sarutobi.
Yes.
Yeah, Asuma Sarutobi. Yeah, there you go. He's a great actual father figure. Even though he had a dad, he was a great father figure still, because he was still playing shogi, teaching him the jutsu and all this other stuff. And I thought he was a good honorable on the father side.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, he ends up fathering a child, but he never got to meet.
Yeah.
Because untimely death of Asuma.
Yeah, that happens a lot in anime, too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people can meet untimely deaths.
Like, oh, you a good dad? Adios. Whoa, what? What's going on here?
Good dads don't survive.
They don't, apparently.
Sometimes you need to do bad dads sometimes. But. Ooh. What?
Sorry. You know what? Sorry, I'm just going to throw back to honorable mentions for fathers I don't want to be like. We're going to give that to Mr. Jaeger from Attack on Titan. Eren's dad. Yeah.
I don't get it.
You haven't seen Attack on Titan yet?
I watched one episode and I was like, I don't think this is for me.
So we're just going to throw Mr. Jaeger on there.
Yeah.
Gracia Jaeger. He's definitely honorable mention for fathers you don't want to be like. And if you watch Attack on Titan, you understand. I'm not going to ruin it. But I just want to throw that out there. He was going to be on my honor. He was on my honorable mentions for father that didn't want to be like that I forgot to mention.
I also forgot All Might. Let's be honest. My Hero Academia.
Yep.
Is he? I don't consider him a father figure at all.
He's more like a mentor.
Isn't the father supposed to be a mentor? You better figure that out in the next 5 months.
that's a stretch.
Is it a stretch? I mean,
because Deku, here's the thing: Deku was just obsessed with the dude. It's not like ended up running into him. So we gave him a train for Bruce, like. I don't think for anything that's shown so far that he's actually shown like some fatherly instincts towards Deku. I think it's still like a teacher, student, or like a mentor, apprentice type thing. Not really like a fatherly type bond between those two.
Okay. Okay, I'll accept that because I also I'm thinking back to the scene. No, I'm thinking back to the scene where like Izuku's mom was like, okay, Midoriya is not going to this school. Like, he's absolutely not. Like, why is it that no matter what happens, all these other students are fine and my kid always ends up in the hospital? 100% he's not going to your school, especially not if you're going to be the teacher. Like, I can't just let that happen. And so, like, you know, he kind of like was bowing down and like he didn't have to like Casanova her, but he did, you know, have to like, I will watch over him. I will be his mentor and I will do this. And like, I won't let anything like that happen to him again. You know,
in that regards, I'm just like, he's responsible because he gave the dude the power. So it's just like, anything that's happened to Deku is just like, it's definitely because of All Might.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, he kind of brings that on himself. Let's be honest. He goes, don't go over there. Deku's like, all right, well, I'm just going to go over there real quick. You know?
True.
Any kids like that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Tell them not to do something. That's the first thing they're going to do.
That's right. Like, yo, don't use 100%. Way. Are you sure I shouldn't use 100%? Because I feel like I should use 100%.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, I'm about to use 1,000,000%. Awesome guy, I don't even know. Yeah, he just completely damaged my entire.
Yo, the dude with the muscles? Is that we talking about?
Yeah. When they were in the summer camp. But man, you just started like, yo, complete disregard for his body.
Dude, I was just like,
like, I'm just gonna go ahead and use this.
How do you throw a punch from this position? You can't throw a punch from this position. You just can't. There's no way. If your hands stop like that, there's no way to throw a punch. It's just how. I was watching that episode. Like, I want him to do it, but like physically, I don't think that's really possible. And against gravity, like you going up.
Yeah,
somehow he did it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue anime physics. Maybe that's a good topic for another
episode. Nah, man, I don't want to get into anime physics because it just doesn't make any sense. We just be here talking nonsense.
You know, like the don't pause an episode.
You just gotta accept.
You know, sometimes when you pause an episode, you get like a crazy face shot. Something crazy happening. Don't ever pause anime. That's one of those things too.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. We got any more honorable mentions?
That's it for me.
Yeah. I think that's
so. I'm calling it.
How about honorable dads and dishonorable dads? We're doing a closer. That works. I'll do it.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Well, very great having you guys here. This has been another episode of Anime Brothers. I'm Jameel, Quiet James, a.k.a. Jameel the Real Deal. This is Thai Money, a.k.a. what do you call yourself? Talking Thai? What?
Super
Tuck
fly.
And roll? Oh, yeah. No, we're not going with that.
Super Fly.
Super Fly. This is Disciple Dashney, a.k.a. Never Ashy, because that's what Chris says. And we are signing off for the evening. Yep. Thank you very much. Be sure to like and subscribe. And Annie
out. Comment below.
Please comment. Annie out.